You're with Cape Talk.
This is John Matham on Afternoon Drive.
19 minutes to four, The Burning Planet. That's the part of the Daily Mavericks offering, which looks at burning environmental issues. And every week at this time, we talk to one of the journalists who's contributed one of the stories to that part of the Daily Maverick. We're talking this afternoon about the International Energy Agency's Africa Energy Outlook Report. Journalist Ethan van Diemen joins us now. Ethan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. Thanks for having
me. Yeah, the issue of the thumbs up to gas for Africa is something that has some green groups, a lot of green groups, all green groups, hot under the collar. But let's just, if you don't mind, start with the sort of general points around energy risks for Africa that the IEA points out in its report.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about energy risks, I think that they speak more to perpetuating the current situation where you have energy poverty in vast and large parts of the continent. And what the IEA does, the International Energy Agency does with this report, is they put forth what they call a sustainable Africa scenario, which is basically just their idea of what how they see Africa can essentially end energy poverty and do that in a way that doesn't contribute to the climate crisis anymore.
Because Africa can shape its own future and efforts to develop its energy system can dovetail with those to jumpstart its industry, reduce its exposure to imports, and create local employment footholds. So they want the way Africa uses energy, the way Africa generates energy, and the way Africa uses that energy to combine to grow Africa economically. What is the issue about gas? What do they say about it, and why do some, if not most, if not all, green groups get unhappy about that?
Well, that's a good question. We should say that the IEA doesn't explicitly only call for gas, but they do call for a mix. But I think the argument about natural gas is it breaks down very simply to the point that it is a fossil fuel. And particularly in the South African case, where we don't have a really sunk infrastructure, essentially investing in that not only takes a while, but you are putting in long-term infrastructure to continue the use of fossil fuels as the rest of the world moves away from that. And the idea to do that, to invest in this natural gas infrastructure, is based on, in the South African context, on an economic calculation that was done 10 years ago where gas was more expensive than renewable energies. And that equation has completely flipped since then. So essentially the argument that environmentalists and others have is that it doesn't make sense because it's actually going to make electricity more expensive, and you are also establishing the sort of infrastructure that's only adding more greenhouse gas emissions into the atmosphere, driving global warming and climate change.
I'm not sure if you made a mistake, because you said the scenario has changed and gas is now cheaper than renewable energy.
I misspoke. I mean, the opposite.
Yeah, okay.
In 2012, that wasn't the case.
Yeah, okay. Because we know that Gwede Mantashe and lots of other people in South Africa, particularly those who have interests in the carbon-based fuel source areas, that they are big on gas as a transition. I don't know what the discussion is like in other countries. I guess if you've got gas, a lot of it, like Mozambique has a lot of gas, then as an African country, you're going, we're booked for gas, thank you very much, because we've got it and we can extract it. It's ours. We can control the supply and it's going to be cheaper than importing anything else. So, I mean, I don't know how many African countries do have gas as a significant part of the way they see their energy futures.
Well, that is a very good point. Obviously, you mentioned Mozambique. They already have their investments that have that are years old now, that they are developing, not without its own issues. South Africa isn't quite there. So I think this, the article, what I tried to focus on is, in the South African context, does it make sense then to embark on a large-scale gas for power infrastructure build where you are spending a lot of money over a long period of time prior to a situation where you're going to need to be able to account for your emissions, essentially, if you want to do business with the rest of the world.
And it depends who you ask the question of, Ethan, as you found out in your piece. You know, you speak to anybody in the renewable space and they'll say gas is, it's just ridiculous that anybody's even vaguely contemplating it. You talk to Johnny Copeland, as I did on the radio a couple of months ago, who is a partner of Shell in South Africa, then gas is absolutely the only reasonably practical, sensible thing to do when you are South Africa desperately searching for new energy. So I know where I stand. Yeah.
Well, it's that complicated that people, there is reason that what people think that, but I think what this article speaks to more is the idea of large scale projects. So Meridian Economics, what they have done there, their modeling essentially finds that there is still a place for some gas, particularly to replace diesel at some of Eskom's peaking plants, just to fill in those gaps because of the nature of the intermittent nature of renewable energy as that capacity is built up over the years.
Goodness knows we have been talking, Eskom has been talking, the government has been talking about repurposing those from diesel to gas for a very, very long time. And I suppose the situation now is that you simply can't take them out of the system long enough to change them from diesel to gas because they are an absolutely crucial part of keeping the lights burning, at least some of the time. Ethan van Diemen, thanks very much for talking to us this afternoon, journalist with Our Burning Planet.